on the mountain, in the valley, in the crowded streets, or the empty desert, in our hope, and in our waiting, we are never alone. God is.
All right, welcome to part one of a brand new series, God With Us. We're so glad to have you here in the house today. And for those that, yes, are still at Grandma's house or somewhere else, just watching online or to our online campus, we'd just like to say a heartfelt welcome. We're so glad you're here along for the ride. Colin, can we welcome all those that are joining us online? Yes, yes, yes. Good to see you in the house today. I hope everybody had a fantastic Thanksgiving, and we're so glad that you're here. Come back next week. We'll introduce you to the rest of our church. So anyway, you know, that's how it usually goes this weekend. Some people are probably still traveling back today. I was traveling back about 12 hours worth yesterday from Florida. It's 6 hours down and it's 12 hours back. That's kind of the way that goes. But it was we enjoyed 80-degree weather on Thanksgiving Day. Eat your heart out, those of you that went to Pigeon Forge. So just saying. But it was just a great time just to connect with family and just have time to just to relax and enjoy and to be grateful, to be thankful. We have so much to be thankful for, and Kim and I want you to know that we are extremely thankful for you, and we're very glad to be back and excited about this season as we're now in the season of Christmas season now. I actually watched the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I saw Santa at the back end of that. Yep, that's it. It's official. Christmas is here. But we know it's not just about that. It's about one named Jesus who came to this world and changed everything. Amen? And he's still changing lives today. And so we're going to jump into this series today. But as we do so, I want to just highlight a couple of things that we mentioned a couple of weeks ago for the opportunities that are presented to us this time of year. One of the things that I really want to keep before you on a weekly basis, and that is that on December the 15th, a couple weeks from now, that we are going to receive a legacy offering. Really excited about this because this is a special offering that we receive that we give away. So it's not for in-house, it's outside the house. And so really excited about that. I say this in advance because we don't believe that you should give out of manipulation or feeling like you're obligated or being forced or coerced. We want you to be intentional givers, deciding between you and God what God would have you to do. So we want to give you time to pray over that, think about that, discuss that with your family, what that looks like for you and how you'd like to contribute to this. We are, as a church, we believe that there's an exciting opportunity we have to give to a church that has this year gone through some similar things that kind of we've been through this year, and we want to be an encouragement to them. So we want to encourage and sow into that church, and so I want to encourage you to make plans and pray about what God would have you to do. That's on December the 15th in our 10:30 service. We'll receive our legacy offering. And then to be further encouragement to another church and hopefully encouragement to us as well, we're going to be that afternoon, December the 15th, we're going to be going to Northside Baptist Church to their Christmas special, and that is Welcome to Bethlehem. It's going to be a great time. We're going to actually meet there at 3:30 so we can all sit together, get good seats. And so we'll tell you more about that next week, but be sure and mark plans for that from 4 to 5:30. Then we're going to be going to Culver's for something to eat. They've got hamburgers and chicken sandwiches. The main thing is they got ice cream. Great ice cream if you've never been to Culver's. So make plans to be a part of that. It's going to be a great time, and we're going to just celebrate Christmas together. We're kind of taking Christmas on the road, all right? And then on December the 22nd, a lot of times we'll have an evening candlelight service. We decided we're just going to do it on Sunday morning. So in our 10:30 slot on December the 22nd, we're going to have our candlelight service. It's going to be a special time. And I say this in advance so that you can be sure to invite somebody to come and be with you. This is one of the best times to invite somebody to church. Easter and Christmas are those two best times, right? And Christmas is just a phenomenal time to invite somebody to come sit with you, be with you during that church service. It's going to be a great time together. Well, I want to jump right into this series today, part one, God with us. And we're going to bounce off of an anchor scripture. And I want to encourage you, if you are watching online, you can download those notes that are available there to you at crosspointworshipcenter.com. And also, there are notes available to you in-house here. Those are in your worship guides. If you want to pull that out, I got a couple things you can fill in there as we take some notes together and break into God's Word here and let God's Word just impact our life in a powerful way. I feel led just to kind of pause right here and just pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity, God, in this season to hear your truth and let your truth carry us through this season. Not just carry us, but help us to carry the light of your truth to this world. I pray, God, that your word would be clear, that we would understand and receive. God, your word is simple yet powerful. Lord, may it have impact in our life and change us and make us world changers. We thank you for the opportunities before us. And I pray wherever we are in this season that we would discover that you are indeed with us. And with you, all things are possible. No matter what things look like around us, God, we know that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is in charge, is in control. And so, Lord, we give you control, Lord God, of this time. Speak into our lives. Help us to have ears to hear, a heart to receive. And, Lord, help us to respond, God, to your word and be forever changed. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. So I want to take a scripture. I want to bounce off of an anchor scripture. And let me just say this for us that are followers of Christ, we look at the power of a theological term called the incarnation. The incarnation simply means that God became flesh and dwelt among us. And as believers of Christ, as followers of Christ, we look to Jesus and we know that he has come and he has made his dwelling with us. He's flesh, that he became flesh, God became flesh and dwelt among us, the scripture teaches us. And on December the 22nd, in 4 weeks, I'm going to take a deeper look into really what that means, perhaps like you've never seen before. Hopefully just reveal some things to you about how powerful of truth that is. But I want us to look at this scripture. It's found in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23 that says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now, for those of us that are followers of Christ, it's easy for us to believe that God is with us when things are going good, when we're on what we call the mountaintop, when we get a raise, man, God blessed me with a raise. When we go to the mall and we get the first parking space, it must be a God thing. We're supposed to be here, right? If we're standing in line like my wife and I were recently, and we were about to make a purchase, and a lady in front of us turns around and says, would you like this coupon? And I got that shirt for $15, y'all. I mean, it's like God is with us, right? When things are going well, it's easy to recognize that God is with us. You know, when the baby sleeps all night long and you get a good night's rest, man, God was with us today. And so we recognize that. But we also need to realize that when things are more difficult, we also realize that God is also with us. And sometimes it is more difficult for us to sense his presence when we're going through a valley, though, when we are alone, when we are hurting, when we're scared, when we have some bad news. And all of us have those seasons of life where, you know, it seems like there's things in our life that are going well, We're pretty much living on the mountaintop, but then in the midst of that, maybe you're at the Thanksgiving meal and you're having a good day with family, but then bad news comes. You hear the word of somebody that's got some medical issues, and it just kind of pulls you down into the valley. There are those times in life, there's those pockets in life that we have that bad news. But the good news of today's message is that God is also in the valley. He is in the valley. It's interesting, again, that so much of our life, when it's going well, we're on the mountaintop, there's that one thing, that one area that can bring us down, that weights us down, so that we have all experienced this thing called the valley, even when things are going well. So there are seasons of our life that are good. I read a Facebook post my wife shared with me this week of someone that described their family when they were growing up, and they would have a meal and they would invite like everybody and their mama, you know, everybody that was in the valley. Everybody was having rough times. In fact, the father would get up real early and he would fix some meals and he would go down the street taking them to people who he knew needed some food, and then he'd come back and she said in this post that they would invite all the down and outers, all those that were a little bit mentally challenged, all those that were just having, you know, just kind of misfits, and they would just all gather around her table. And this girl, as she was young, she said, "Dad, can we not have a normal Thanksgiving like other families and just us five from our family and just enjoy our Thanksgiving meal?" And he looked at her and he said, "You don't understand." He said, "As long as there's people that are in need and we're blessed, we're going to help those in need." And she talks about how wonderful that was growing up that way. But then as life went on, divorce happens, drama happens, silly grudges happens where people won't speak to each other. You know, now it's no longer that mountaintop euphoria experience. Now life has changed, and now there's this valley that she lives in where things aren't as they should be. And how unfortunate that is. We all have these experiences, these valley experiences. But I want us to see the message of this today, and that is, where is God in those valleys? Where is God in those valleys? In fact, we even heard today before church, there's someone that's a part of this church that someone within their family attempted suicide this morning. I understand that suicide rate is more increased between Thanksgiving and Christmas than any other time of the year. Why? Because people are going through valleys. People are going through difficult times of dark depression and discouragement. So I want to speak to that this morning. When we talk about the valleys, valleys are places where battles are fought. You may be fighting a battle in a valley this morning. It's a place where loneliness is experienced and there's desperation. But I also want you to realize that in the valley, that is where growth happens. I've heard someone say that's where the corn grows. It grows where there's more shadows than there is sunshine, but it's more fertile there, and that's where the corn grows. There's opportunity for growth there. In the valley is an opportunity to build your faith like no other place. When you're in the valley, it gives you an opportunity to exercise that faith, and it allows you to experience God in a different way in the valley than in the mountaintop. I want you to write this down in your notes there, and that is that we may enjoy God on the mountaintops, but we get to know Him intimately in the valley, right? I mean, we enjoy the mountaintop experience, but honestly, where we really get to know Him intimately, where we discover He is the lily of the valley, come on, where we discover that He is a close companion that sticks closer than a brother when everything is going on around us, that's where He comes close to us, and we can hear His voice, and He speaks to us intimately in the valleys. I want to look at this scripture. The psalmist in Psalm 84, verses 5 through 7 says this, says, Blessed are those whose strength is in You, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Now, I don't know if you've ever read Psalm 84 before, but you might have just passed over this and not realized the power of this scripture. But I want to look at this for just a moment. It talks about the Valley of Baca. What is the Valley of Baca? Most likely it's related to a tree with a very similar spelling. And this tree, it oozes out sap. It would be called a weeper, meaning when you look at the tree, it looks like it's crying. And it represents, this Valley of Baca represents that. It's also described as a valley of tears, or a valley of weeping, a valley of loss. It's a valley of tears. The Valley of Baca, that it is a place where, when you look at this Valley of Baca, it's a desert country. It's a place where there are thorns. It's a place where there's wild animals. There's vipers. There's cats, y'all. Come on. Wild cats. last night I went, one night this week, I was actually getting ready to go to Florida, and I looked in my backyard, and there was a, and my wife said, "What is that?" And I turned and looked, and there was a coyote staring at us. And I said, "That's a coyote. Let's get in the house. Come on." It's, Valley has things like coyotes and dangerous things, and people rob you and mug you and what are in the valley. And it's nearly impossible. It's said that it's nearly impossible to travel through this valley without facing danger and hardships. And the psalmist discovered, though, in this place of Baca, that there is a source of help in the place of the valley. I want you to write this down. And that is, just write this down. I will seek His strength. So when we're going in, when we're in the valley, what are we going to do? The psalmist discovered this, and that is that we need to seek His strength. And he declares it in Psalm 84 and 5 when he says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in You." Now, I don't know, you know, you may be here and you don't know God personally, but if you don't know God personally, when you go through stuff, I mean, really, you're doing the best you can. All you have, really, is all you have. And you may be at this place where you feel exhausted, that you can't take it anymore, and you don't think you can make it. But let me just share something with you. As believers, as those of us that follow Christ, we believe that we have a strength that goes beyond just what we have. So that's why the psalmist says that we have a heavenly strength. We have access to something more. That's why the psalmist said, "Blessed are those whose strength is in You." It's when you've done all you can do, you've exhausted all your resources, and you've depleted everything, and you're at the end of yourself, and you don't know what to do. Listen, blessed are those who discover that their strength is in the Lord. I don't know if any of you go to the gym and work out, but you know, if you can get a picture of a guy on a bench press and he's pressing and there's a spotter there trying to encourage him, you know, and he's lifting and let's just say you're doing a bunch of reps and you're just doing the bar. You know, you've been working out a long time, you're just doing a 45-pound bar, and it kind of looks silly because you're trying to burn it out at the end and see how many reps you can get on the end. And there's a spotter there, and he's saying, "Come on, come on, you got it, you got it. It's all you, it's all you." And what he doesn't realize, the spotter doesn't realize, he's trying to help because he squeak out those last ones, and the spotter is actually one lifting, and the one laying there has already given up. Because they've depleted all their strength, and the spotter's saying, "It's all you, it's all you," but it's really not. It's actually the spotter is actually lifting the bar. Can I tell you, when we get to the end of everything we have and we've depleted all that we are, there is a God that steps in when we have nothing else left and says, "I'm there with you, I'm there for you. Come on, it's all Him. It's really all Him." Amen? I don't know if you've ever been that place before, but we discover it in the valley. That we are His. When we get to the end of our strength, there is a heavenly, divine strength that comes from our God. So, right, this is a little extra note here, but when you are weak, here's what we discover: His strength is made perfect. And sometimes it takes us to get to the end of ourselves before we discover who He is, because we are so self-reliant. But when we're weak, His strength is made perfect. Perfect. And I just want you to know, if you're in the middle of a valley right now, you have access to a very real present power of a good God who is available and ready to come in and assist you in your time of need. Notice the text doesn't say, blessed are those who can make it on their own. Blessed are those that can pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. Blessed are those who are really, really determined and trying really hard. No, it doesn't say that. And I think we oftentimes in our society, we have a problem where we idolize the spirit of independence. I'm my own man. I'm going to do it myself. I don't need any help. I'm going to get myself financially secure. I don't want to have to depend upon anybody. I don't need God. I don't need anybody else. I'm my own person. I'm independent. I'm self-reliant. I'm my own person. Now, I understand there's a value in being financial, having financial freedom, and there's a value in taking responsibility and being self-responsible. But can I tell you that we were never created to be independent? We were created to be dependent on God. We are actually created, you are created to depend on God. So blessed are you when you realize you are dependent and you have a power greater than you. That's when you're blessed. And that's what the psalmist was saying. Blessed are you when you discover that there is a strength that's found in the Lord. Look at another point. I want you to write this one down. When you're going through the valley, write this down. I will fix my mind on God. I want to give you a different translation from this in the NLT of this verse 5 that says this. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord who, look at this, set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So we are traveling on this pilgrimage to Jerusalem. It may be that we are in the valley, but we're going to what is known as the city of refuge or the place of peace. One commentary says, to get to the city of refuge, you had to travel through the valley of tears. And sometimes, to appreciate the presence and the power of God, we have to push through some pain. So the valley is the pathway to the place of peace. A little extra note there for you. The valley is the pathway to the place of peace. But look at what this scripture says. It says, here's how they did it. They set their minds. Come on, say this. My mind is set. Can you say it with me? My mind is set. Say it out loud with me. My mind is set. We have to set our mind. What we think about matters when we're going through stuff. As a pastor, I've seen people hit some very tragic places in their life, and I've understand that if they don't process it right, if they don't think right, their thoughts will lead them to an unhealthy place, right? If they don't deal with it right, if they don't have the right thoughts, Paul said it to the Colossians in the New Testament. He had a lot to say about what we think about, that we're not to set our mind on those things which are below, but on those things which are above. To the Philippians, he told them, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is lovely, if there's anything admirable, think about these things. So we got to look at what we are focused on. And the psalmist is saying that we're to fix our mind on God. What are we thinking about? Where you are is one thing. What you think about is something else. You may be in the valley. You may be pressing through, going through the valley. But what is your mind fixed on? That's what's going to carry you through that place of the valley. So that we are in the process of working through, of going to this place of peace. But your current situation may be in the valley, but your mind can still be set on God. Here's an extra note for you. My current circumstance may be in the valley, but my mind is fixed on God. Can I get a good amen from somebody here today? I'm just going to amen myself. Amen. My heart may be anxious, but my mind is fixed. My soul may be aching, but my mind is fixed. My emotions may be racing, but my mind is fixed. I may be overwhelmed with the season and what I've got to do, and I got in-laws coming, and we got Christmas ahead of us, and we got presents to purchase, and we got traffic to deal with, and we got malls to push through, and we got, you know, well, maybe not malls, computers to go through to order online so the mailman can bring it to your front door, right? I don't know, but you're just overwhelmed. But all of this happening right now in this season, but my mind is fixed on God, on the goodness of God. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what pocket of a valley I may be in, my mind is on a God who tells me that He's for me, He's not against me. My mind is on a God who is greater inside of me than what I'm going through externally. I'm on a pilgrimage. The Holy Spirit is with me no matter what's going on around me. I have the power. I have the Prince of Peace. I have the power of God within me. My mind is fixed on God. I may be going through a valley, and I may be upset by the circumstances and not happy with what's going on around me, but my mind is fixed on God. Is anybody hearing me today? We're going to have our mind fixed on God, and God will carry us through. Psalm 84 and 6 says this: as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. And I love this phrase, as they pass through, as they pass through. Listen, somebody here today, you may be in the valley, but that's not your destination. You're just passing through. You're not staying there. You're experiencing it, yes, but that's not your destination. You're passing through. You're just passing through. You're just passing through. That's why the psalmist in the 23rd Psalm says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm walking through it, but I'll fear no evil. Why? Why? Because God is with me. God is with me. He is God Emmanuel. He came and He is with me. I'm not doing this by myself. I'm not alone. I'm not carrying my own luggage. Come on. I've got somebody with me. The weight is light. The way is bright because He is with me. I'm going through that with His help. It's not just, you know, I think sometimes we just want out. We just want out of the valley. But God will, listen, God will take you through the valley. And the way, this is an extra note for you, the way is through and not out. The way is through, not out. You see, sometimes we just want to abort God's plan and say, well, I don't like this, I'm getting out of here. And yet we have just robbed ourselves of the opportunity of knowing God on a more intimate level than we ever could at the mountaintop. Now that needs to stick to somebody. We abort. We go through a pattern of removing ourselves when it gets uncomfortable, when it's not easy anymore, when it becomes difficult, when we have questions, when we're not sure, when we don't have all the comforts of everything and all the assurances that we know that we should have in that place. We decide we'll just abort that. And what we do, sometimes we'll go in a pattern from place to place to place, hopping, 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 trying to jump from mountaintop to mountaintop, but it doesn't work that way. There's a valley between getting from mountaintop to mountaintop. The good news is there are two mountaintops makes one valley, somebody said, right? But through the valley, God wants to teach us something. God wants to build some character. God wants to develop us. God wants to grow us. God wants to speak into our life. God wants us to know that He is our source of help, that He's with us in a way that we can't just know when everything's rosy, right? I know this maybe not be a shouting message, but this is good stuff. It's a good word. The way is through, not out. To get to Jerusalem, to get to Zion, to get to the house of God, the city of refuge, the place of peace. To get to the city of refuge, you have to travel through the valley of tears. And for many, the valley is the pathway to the place of peace. Let me give you another one that we pulled out of the scripture. Number three, write this down. I will dig a well. You say, well, what do you mean dig a well? Look at what it says here. In verse 6, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. The King James Version says, they make it a well. They make it a well. So when you're in a dry place, the instructions are that we need to dig a well. So what does that mean, a well? So we're going to dig a hole. We're going to dig a container that will catch the rain. We're going to prepare a place for the rain to come. We're going to dig a well. We're going to prepare the place. Scripture of the day, if any of you do this, YouVersion Bible app, it talks about raising the valley and lowering the mountaintops, making the crooked path straight. What? Preparing the way of the Lord. Did you know that when you're in a dry place, you said, well, it's not raining right now. Why would I dig a well? There's no rain to fill it. Listen to me. If you dig it, he'll fill it. Digging a well is an act of faith. And it seems like God is saying here, if you'll show me your faith, I'll show you my faithfulness. If you will prepare, and it's all through Scripture, there's ifs, and I love the ifs of the Bible. There's ifs all through the Bible. If, he told the man that had a withered hand, he didn't just say, be healed. He said, stretch forth your hand, and his hand was healed. The lame man, he didn't just say, you're healed. He said, get up, take up your bed, and walk. There's something for you and I to do. There's some preparing. There's preparing our heart. There's creating a place, right? If you want something to grow in your life, you're going to have to sow some things in faith that some things are going to grow in your life, right? So we're preparing and believing. And it's throughout our life. Someone once said, it was actually Charles Blair that said, we only believe what we believe enough to put into practice. I think that's so good. We only believe what we believe enough to put into practice. I said, well, I believe. Really? Do you? We show it by our actions. And the scripture here is basically saying, make a place of springs. When you're in the valley, right, in a dry place, in a place where nothing is happening, but he says, if you'll prepare it. And there's buried, again, in this passage a promise. If you dig it, I will fill it. And scripture is replete with this. If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Right? If you will seek me, you will find me. If you'll make room for me, I will reveal myself to you. It may be that God is taking you through this valley so that you have the opportunity to exercise your faith and prepare for his faithfulness. Right? And then look at this. He draws us to himself. He calls us to make room for him. And here's what I know, that God rarely reveals himself when you're rushed. Now, he could chase you down. He's fast. But oftentimes when he chases you down, it's to get you to slow down. Have you ever been there? You know, sometimes we don't slow down until we're on our back in the hospital. I think there's a better way to slow down. But you notice the burning bush? You know, he didn't just put the burning bush up there so Moses could do an Instagram and text about it and tweet about it and go on his way. No, it was like, no, pull aside. Be still. Observe. Let me speak to you. And know that I am God. It may be that God takes you through some places to slow you down, that you'll be still, that you can know him in an intimate way. To be still, to prepare yourself for the presence of God, to hear his voice, because there's a lot of voices. Come on. We live in an information age, and we live in a social media age, and we live in a whirlwind of just noise, right? But the Bible teaches us that if we'll be still and listen to his voice, come on, there's going to be some rain. There's going to be some refreshing. There's going to be some replenishing in a place of the valley. We're going to know him there. God never said you won't go through the valleys, but he never said you have to go through the valleys alone. Psalm 84 and 7 says this. I love this. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. And even though you're in the valley, and even though it may seem like a very weak place and you're weak in your walk with the Lord or whatever that looks like for you, when you fix your eyes on Him, when you recognize He's the source of your strength, come on, when you seek Him and go after Him, when you prepare for Him, God will have, listen, God keeps you in a place of strength, not just on the mountaintop, but also even in the valley. So it's dark, there's a storm, there's trouble, we feel weak, but yet in that dark place, we discover He is our light. In the storm, we discover He is our peace. In the trouble, we discover He is our joy. When we're weak, we discover He's our strength. Come on. When it seems like nothing is happening, we offer up in faith praise to Him, even in the midst of the valley. I think, you know, one key is to praise Him before you get the answer. You know you're going to praise Him when the answer comes, right? Whatever it is that you're looking for, that answer you're expecting God for, you're expecting to praise Him right at the end of that. I would just say, go ahead and prepare yourself and praise Him before the answer comes. We used to sing a song about praising Him before the answer comes. Praise Him before the shadows flee, because praise brings the victory. Praise Him in the midst of it all. And I'm telling you, you'll discover He is there. He's present. You are not alone. Come on. Yeah, give Him praise. Somebody wants to praise Him right now. Amen. Awesome. God is with us. God is with us. I love this scripture. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, that says, "Where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." I tell you, those are beautiful words. Those are comforting words. No matter where you are, what you're going through, what stage of life you're in, listen, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. There's one scripture that says, "Be content," and this is a time of year we need to be content, "with such things as you have, for He is faithful that promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you." The Bible says, "Your mother and your father forsake you, He'll still take you up." He'll be your mother, He'll be your father. When those closest to you abandon you, because He knows what it means, it feels like to be rejected and abandoned. But He says, "I went through that, so you'll know. I understand. I qualify to be your best friend because I've been through that. I understand what you're going through." But He's also given you a promise: "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." Somebody needs to know that today. He's not mad at you. You know what? He knows what you did last night, and your picture is still on His refrigerator. Come on. I mean, He still loves you. He loves you and cares about you, longs to be in close, intimate relationship with you, knows even perhaps if you're here today, and I don't know where you are. Maybe you're on a mountaintop today. Maybe you're in the valley, but wherever you are, according to this scripture, He's there. He's there in every circumstance of life. He is with you. And it says that He'll hold you. I love that. "Your right hand will hold me." He holds you. He cares for you. He carries you through those difficult places. So we enjoy Him on the mountaintop, but we get to know Him in the valley. We seek His strength. We fix our minds on Him. We dig a well, but we discover that wherever we are through this, He is there with us. It may be that you're on the mountaintop, but yet, even on the mountaintop, something's missing. Everything's going well. You got everything it seems like you need, but yet there's just something not right. There's something lacking. There's something missing. Or it could be that you're in the valley and you're hurting with whatever that circumstance is that you're going through. But God is speaking today, saying He is the lily of the valley, and He's the bright and morning star. He's with you on the mountaintop, and He's with you in the valley. You know, there's a scene in the Old Testament where Israel is in a battle, and the enemy of Israel noticed that God always won the battle, that Israel won the battle when they were on the mountaintop. And so the enemy the enemy said, well, he's God of the mountaintop, but he's not of the valley. If we can get him in the valley, we'll defeat him in the valley. And so they had the battle in the valley, and guess what happened? God showed up in the valley, and he beat him in the valley. He's God of the mountaintop. He's also God of the valley. There's no limit to where he is. There's no limit to how far he'll go to reach you. Wherever you are, there he is. We're called to dig a well, to put our faith in him. Somebody here today, you might just need to dig a well today, to be still, to know that he's God, to dig that well, to take that step of faith. Say, God, I'm going to exercise my faith. I'm going to put my faith in you today, knowing that you, oh God, you are God, are going to respond, that you are going to respond. God, that you're going to, I'm just not going to put my faith in anything. God, I'm putting my faith in you, and as I do, you're going to fulfill, and you're going to fill my life. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? Lord, we thank you for the fact that you are with us in every circumstance of life. God, you are with us in the valley. You're with us on the mountaintop. You are with us. You came to this earth, God incarnate, born of the Virgin Mary. You lived a sinless life. You died on the cross. You took our place. And you declared to us that you are with us. And you, even when you left and ascended to the Father, you said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you to be with you. You're never going to be alone. You're not going to be orphans. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be your companion. I'm going to be your comfort. I'm going to be your guide. I'm with you. I thank you, God, that no matter where we are this morning, there's an encouraging word today that you're speaking, a simple, encouraging word. You're with us. You're with us. God with us. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to give an opportunity if you're here today and perhaps you know that you're not where you need to be with him. And you're not in that right relationship. You don't have that intimate personal relationship with him. I want to tell you, we're never enough, but he's more than enough. And I want to give you an opportunity to invite him into your life, to be the Lord of your life, to fill your life, to change your life forever. If you're watching online, I want to invite you to pray with me. If you're in this house, I want to encourage you to pray with me this morning. I'm just going to help lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to have you stand or come to the front and embarrass you. I'm just going to pray with you right where you are, but that's you today. You say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? Would you count me in? Would you just slip up a hand right now? I just want to know who I'm praying with. God bless you today. Good job. Awesome. If you're watching online, I encourage you to join with us today. We all just pray this out loud for support of those that need to pray it. Can you pray something like this? Say, God, today I thank you for the knowledge and the truth that you are with me and that you love me. And you came to this earth to pay for my sins so I could have a relationship with you. Today I give you my life. I turn from my way to your way. Forgive me for going my way. I invite you to come in and be the Lord of my life. Come on, say it this way. I give you my life. Come on, say it again. I give you my life. I invite you to come in and make me brand new on the inside. And with all my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name. God, thank you for every person who needed to pray that prayer and prayed it. God, I rejoice with them today. God, I celebrate the best decision of their life. And I just pray for them, God. God, may they walk in close relationship with you, hand in hand. Lord, may they know you intimately. May they hear your voice. God, in this season of busyness, where everybody's rushing and it's crazy, God, I pray that there would be a peace in the midst of that. May they hear your voice. Steal us, Lord. Help us to know you. Help us to walk with you. Help us to follow you, God. And Lord, help us, oh God, to make a difference in this world and let your light shine in this dark world. God, we give you all the credit, all the praise for all accomplished. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen.